Let's pray. Father, I just pray that as I share my faith with these people, that they'd see the wealth of good things in me that come from only you through Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You my strength and my redeemer, for Christ's sake. Amen. This is the class of how to share your faith. I'd like to ask you, what are you in here for? Okay. Encouragement. Okay. Pass this to you, lady. Please. Encouragement. Could that be courage?
Well, I have to be mine.
It's okay. We're just in here to learn together.
More effective.
Let's get a little depth to that. Effective.
Well, I share my faith, but I want it to have more impact on other people's lives.
Impact?
Yeah. So that they understand more the faith.
Understand? Yeah. Anything else, huh? Good. Anything else why you came in here? How to share your faith? Try to cover that. Lord willing. Give you an example of a witness God gave me a few years back. This man is a co-laborer in business, and he asked me to give testimony at his Moravian church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I couldn't do it. And so we met another time in Memphis. And generally, you know, when somebody asks you to give a testimony, you figure they know something about going to heaven. And I figured he did. So I was just forthright with him, you know. And we went to supper in Memphis together. We were having a sales meeting. And I said, after we ordered this nice meal. Oh, that's a good meal. Home cooked food, you know, lemon pie. They fix it with, you know, Eagle Brand milk, and they squeeze the lemons in it. They don't get that liquid stuff, you know, but they squeeze it, and when you put it in your mouth, it just draws you. It's so good. But I know what's coming, you know. And so we were sitting there before the meal came, and I said, Fred, I've been wanting to talk to you. And I said, tell me, how did you know when you were going to heaven? And he said, I'm not going. You know, usually that abruptness, you have to really draw people out. But he knew. He wasn't going. Well, I lost my hunger. I lost my taste. The night wasn't the same. All I had was a hunger for a soul. And so, he ate through what he could, and I just nibbled. And I said, Fred, let's go to the office. To the room. I want to talk to you. I said, I want to talk and share with you something about my own life, about getting to heaven. Is that okay? Yeah, be fine. I've never been so low after hearing that. Because I was excited. Because we were going to share together the same thing. And got over to the room and I said, Fred, this little booklet has helped me more to know that I was going to heaven than any booklet I've ever seen. It's got the Bible in it. And it's the peace of knowing that I'm going. There's no peace in this world, Fred. There's no way I can give you peace in this world. But it's peace of knowing I'm going to heaven. And I'd like to share that with you. And I said, in all of life, there is nothing more wonderful than discovering peace with God. And that peace is knowing you're going to heaven. Here you are. Yeah. The step one in all of life, don't be afraid to read this through. It's a tool. In all of life, there's nothing more wonderful than discovering peace with God. To this discovery is realizing God's plan. God's plan is for you to have peace and life. He wants you to have it now. God loves you and wants you to experience peace and life abundantly and eternally. The Bible says. See that? Not Moose Keller says. That's my name. Moose Keller. If y'all don't know, it's Morris Keller, Moose Keller, whatever y'all want to go with. If you say Morris, I think you're fixing to tell me something drastic. If it's Moose, it's a friend. The Bible says. Let me tell you how important that is to me. And Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. I like that verse. That gives me the confidence. That gives me the courage. As long as I'm using the Word of God, and I don't have to memorize it. I just read it. And I know it's going to do the work. Let me share with you 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. If you don't think God will break down barriers, I cannot. Now, old Peter tried to break down barriers with his sword. He cut off the soldier's ear. But Jesus says, no, not that way. Let's use this. It is true that I am an ordinary, weak human being. But I don't use human plans and methods to win my battles. I use God's mighty weapons. Not those made by men to knock down the devil's stronghold. These weapons can break down every proud argument against God. You ever tried to argue with somebody? Don't argue. Take the word of God and use it in a gentle way. Don't throw it down people's throats. Love them. Because if you aren't able to reach them, save them for somebody else. These weapons can break down every proud argument against God. Fifth verse. And every wall can break down every wall. You ever seen barriers? Can't go any further? The Word can break down every wall that can be built to keep men from finding Him. With these weapons, I can capture rebels. You ever seen rebels? You want to capture a rebel? Use the Word. Let me tell you how to use Word in your life. You know the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love. In your life, you can love. Joy. Rejoice always, it says. Peace. Be at peace in turmoil and tumult. Jesus says, forgive them. They know what to do. Boy, he had peace. Well, he didn't have it in the garden. You know, he said, Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. I mean, he was going through it. Then he awoke. He said, but for this cause came I unto this hour. And he saw it. Joy came back to his life. Not the pain of what he's fixing to go through. But joy came back to his life, what his purpose was. Father, glorify thy name. You ever thought of pain you go through that glorify God's name? That's what that taught me. It says, with these weapons I can capture rebels and bring them back to God and change them into men whose hearts desire obedience to Christ. Amen. I will use these weapons against every rebel who remains after I have first used them on you yourselves and you surrender to Christ. That's my courage of the word. In 2 Timothy 1:7, I have not given you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. The Bible says. Do you see where I'm coming from? I trust the Word of God, not Moose Keller. I trust the Holy Spirit within me to guide me. Hi, how you doing? This is, where's my... Run out of my third, am I? We're on step one. We haven't gone far at all. The Bible says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the peace comes from. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. Is that what that said? Huh? For God so loved me? Is that what that said? I saw somebody shake their head. Oh, somebody listen. Do that when you go through this. And try to memorize that verse. Everybody's memorized John 3:16. And look at them. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. You'll either do this or, you know, he might be awake and might be asleep. But that's to see if they're listening. Now, that's an embarrassment. But it's only you and he or you and her. Okay? But get their attention and know that, make them know that you're checking them. Just that little bit. Don't be heavy on them on that. But just say, for God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. Is that right? See? Just ask him that question. Stay positive with him. Is that right? Yeah. Well, is that right? Now I'm getting his eyes on it. Oh no, the world. And I said, who is that? He said, everybody. See, he's with me now. Isn't that neat? Just get them back with you. For God so loved the world that he gave. These are the terms. I want you to fool around with world. I want you to fool around with gave. A synonymous word of gave is gift. Freely given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth on him, believe is the next word. See, when I received Christ in 1970, I was a church member. In 1958, I went down front and I said, Dotson, I want to join your church. Moose, I'm glad. Do you know, you know you're saved? Yeah, I know I'm saved. Now, my dad taught me when I was a little boy, stay away from fanatics. And I found out how to do it when I was 10. A man came to me when I was 10 and said, you've been saved? And I said, yes, because my dad taught me how to stay away from them. And I said, yes. And I wasn't sure if I had to keep them away, but I said, yes. And they said, praise the Lord. And they went away. They got rid of them. He didn't say, tell me about it. It taught me a lesson when I became 32. In that same week, it's weird, I was 10, on a streetcar, a man standing beside me, he says, you ever been born again? Yeah. Praise God. Went to somebody else. I knew how to get rid of the way to heaven for my own life. Till I was 32. And so when I went in 1958, I went down church to join a church. Dotson says, "You've been saved?" "Yeah." He said, "Praise God, get baptized." "People, you accept his decision?" "Yeah." I got baptized in 1958. I was a Baptist. Not going to heaven. It's easy to become a church member. In 1970, a man taught me to read the Word on a daily basis, to memorize the verses and review them on a daily basis, and pray on a daily basis. And I was reading Matthew 7:21. He said, "Just because you call me Lord don't mean you're going to heaven." This booklet was given to me a year previous to that time. And when I was stunned with that verse, I ran to that desk. I knew where this was. And I pulled it out and I started reading. And I saw in the back where it says, "But as many as received it." And I found out that believing is more than just believing about him, but it's knowing. It's a personal knowing. Accepting knowing, a trusting knowing, a relying knowing, a clinging to knowing. That's the belief. And see, the depth of belief, a lot of people ride by it. But there's two types of believing. There's a believing knowing and there's a believing accepted. Don't ride by that. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish in hell." I bring that up. Perish in hell. Have everlasting life. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I don't get to the depth of that. He did come that they might have life. That's what he hung on the cross for and suffered and bled for. He came that I might live because of that. Step two, you see, they read that bottom. It says, "For God, since God planned for us to have peace and abundant life right now, why are most people not having this experience?" Is acknowledging man's problem? Separation. You notice how I ad-lib? I ad-lib through here. You won't do this in the beginning, but you'll so personalize this thing, you'll start ad-libbing. And I really cling to this thing. I'd like to use the Bible, but it's so bundlesome. You know, I got a switchblade. I got a little switchblade I can use. I carry it in my hip pocket. And this is my big sword. Man's problem is separation. God created man in his own image and gave him an abundant life. He did not make him as a robot to automatically love and obey him, but gave him a will and freedom of choice. You know why I like this booklet? You know it's important? I'm wanting him to read it with me and hear me. Do you know the grip? To get the grip of God? If you hear the Word of God, did you know that if you hear the Word of God, you only retain 10% of what you've heard in 24 hours? Don't stay that much, does it? If you hear it and read it, you retain 25%. It's better. If you hear it, read it, and write it down, see, it's already written down, you retain 60%. That's why people, when they go to school, they go to lectures. That's why they have these classes right here, so you'll write down what the lecture has been. And you retain 60% of what you've heard, read, and wrote down in 24 hours. That's why you say a note, sermon note, you know, write them notes down. So you'll get a retention. And at least you've got the notes, you can take them and put them in a file, and go back to them. Keep them in order. But I can lose it. 60% is not enough for me. Hear it, read it, write it down, memorize it. Boy, you think you got it with 100%. Because if you memorize it, that verse that might have given it, you think you got it. You don't need anything else. Can you take that from me? And I'm strong. I need some more, don't I? There. What can you do with that? That's right. That's meditation. Well, let me tell you what I learned about meditation. Meditation is visualizing what God's giving you. While you're memorizing it, God's allowing vision to come to you. Then personalize it. If you practice that verse, what sweetness. Visualize it. Personalize it. And God will give you the third one in meditation. Inexpressible joy. You'll sing hymns in yourself. I mean, it just glows. And I can't express what I've got, what God's given me in meditating His Word. But that's a grip. But what I'm getting at, hear it, read it, write it down. It's all here. And that's why I press it to them. Let them look. Man chose to disobey God and go his own willful way. Man still makes this choice today. This results in separation from God. Man is on one side. God's on the other side. Why are they separated? Because God's too holy to be with dirt. The Bible says, yes. Inexpressible joy, 1 Peter 1:8. It's something God's given you. You can't express it, and you want to so bad it hurts. The Bible says, for a few have sinned. Now I want you to... Yeah, there you go. You know what exciting is? Y'all didn't say a word a while ago, and y'all just opened up and just told me that I was wrong. Hey, that's wrong. You know why? Because I embarrassed you a while ago. You understand what I'm getting at? Get their attention. And you can do it with just little things. That took a little bit of schooling. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. I always thought I'd die if I sinned. And I watched my friend sin first. He didn't die. I thought that was a lie. I thought them preachers were lying. Until I saw that it's separation from God, just like Adam was to God. He was walking with God in the garden all the time. And here comes God after Adam ate that apple. And God's having to say, Adam, where are you? True? For the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, remember a little while ago we went to, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? Gift. There it is again. The synonymous word. But the gift of God is eternal life. We're going to get some more of that. Man through the ages has tried to bridge this gap in many ways without success. Did you know it's hard to bring a man to the Lord if he's in heavy good works? Now I'm going to tell you. You cannot convince that man that his good works is not going to get him into heaven. How do you convince him? By how? You're halfway there. The Word. Because the Word will break down walls, remember? Oh, they'll be broken too.
Let me ask you on that. What if you go from someone who refused portions of the Word of God and also refused original sin? I have, why should I bear the burden of sin?
What?
God is
that. Say it again now.
Okay, my father. He says, he's fascinated by the Word of God every day. There's portions he doesn't accept. He doesn't accept the original sin that he bears the fault for and so he accepts that, that the way he's going to get.
Okay.
And, okay, go ahead.
2 Timothy 2:23. Number one, in your own heart, don't get involved in foolish arguments, which only upsets people and makes them angry. Love your daddy. Okay? Number two, trust God's word to do the action. You be encouraged by God's word that it's all alright with you. And 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says, for no prophecy recorded in Scripture was ever thought up by the prophet himself. It was the Holy Ghost within these godly men that gave them true messages from God. It didn't say a portion. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It didn't say a little bit of Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, just not profitable for him in that area, okay? That's okay. The main thing, get in heaven. Get in heaven. And then God will work on the rest. If we can just get him to heaven, Holy Spirit will just work on his heart. If he's in the Word, God will work on his heart. Because one day he'll pass that 2 Peter 1:20 and 1, and he'll pass that 2 Timothy 3:16. I trust that. My courage is there. I believe it. I wanted to do the same thing to my daddy. I wanted my daddy to receive Christ so bad. And he did not want to talk about it. He was the one that told me to stay away from fanatics. He's the one that gets cold sweat when I bring a booklet like this out. And I finally said, back off. It taught me with my wife. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. I had to memorize these two verses. It says, a man of few words and settled mind is wise. Therefore, even a fool is thought to be wise. Even a fool is thought to be wise. Even if he's silent, pays him to keep his mouth shut. Backed off. Answer only what's been questioned. See? And God changed her life. She received Christ when she's 11. And you know what the church did? They put her on the pew to drip, dry, and dehydrate. She calls it that. And she was age 32. God got in her life and started exploding. And through another lady, that happened. And through my mouth been shut. But for 2 years, I let her live a heavy. Because I said, honey, you need to memorize Scripture. You need to read a daily prayer and have daily prayer and read the Word on a daily basis. I was putting the burden on her. Who was that talking about the burden a while ago, dude? See? I put the burden on her. Just like that thing. Not concerned, see? But I put the burden on her. And she's backing off. And I believe she would have divorced me today if I hadn't started keeping my mouth shut. And in March of 72, God got a hold of her life. And I didn't know it then. God didn't let me know it. She didn't want me to know it until May of 72. I found out. Boy, did I shout. Woo! Silent. God's the remedy. Did I answer? God's the remedy. The cross. Jesus Christ is the only answer to this problem of separation. Step 3. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave, he paid the penalty for our sin and bridged the gap from God to man. His death and resurrection make a new life possible for all who believe. Here's the scripture. God is on one side and all the people on the other side. You see all the people on the other side? God is on one side. Remember over here the separation. Man's sinful. God's holy. He's not together with man. And here it says Christ Jesus himself became man, is between them to bring them together. That's those stretch out arms. I can really see that. And that was the way. And that's scripture. 1 Timothy 2:5. Now we go further what the Bible says. That helps me in confidence. This is straight out of the King James, you know. That's the original stuff, as somebody would say. But God commended, showed, his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You remember the little story a while ago I was telling you about Fred? And I started through this. And I got to this point, I wanted to emphasize this verse, and I said, don't you see it, Fred? God died for you regardless of you being a sinner. But he said, I've got to work it. I said, Fred, don't you see it? Uh-huh. Work it. And Fred couldn't see it. I said, God, in my heart, I was really burning inside for him. Show him. I said, Fred, why can't he save you? Why can't you see this? And he says, in World War II, I was trained to be an assassin. I was trained to go kill Rommel. 8 men were trained. They dropped them behind the lines. They knew how to drive tanks, jeeps, 8-track vehicles. They knew how to drive half tracks. They knew everything. They knew how to use the knives. They knew how to do the chops and the karate kill. They knew everything. And they did that. They dropped them behind the lines and Rommel's flown out. He didn't know they were coming. But it happened to be Hitler wanted him in Europe. And they missed it. So they're behind the lines. They got to get out. And so here they go fighting through. And they committed atrocities. Slit throats. You know, the bit. And they're in an 8-wheel vehicle. An 88 blew them out. He and another man were in a turret. And all 6 others were all in around the body. And it blew that to smithereens, but blew the turret out. Those 2 men lived, but smashed. And they were near an oasis. And he woke up for a moment, just crushed. And a German medic was helping him. And he passed out again. And the next time he woke up, he was in a hospital. He said, oh, and it was England. Those 2 guys lived. And he came back. All the atrocities, God won't forgive them. But I'm working hard. I said, oh me. This is a tough one. Courage. God's word. I leaned, Lord, pull it out. I got a computer of verses. And I said, Lord, pull one out. A reference is Titus 3:5. Oh, I said, that's got to be it. There's no others. I said, not by works of righteousness which God, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now get this. He didn't see that verse. And I said, hey, it's so much Phillips' translation of it. So that was the King James I was doing. And I opened up the Phillips. Bang! Tears, boy, just coming out of his eyes. I mean, he saw it. And he says, let me pray. I ain't even finished. I said, well, you know. Well, I got a prayer back here. Yeah. He prayed, I was weeping, he was weeping. And then next morning, he took my Phillips translation. I lost that one. That was a good loss. But the next morning, he came to breakfast. He was glowing. That peace, that burden lifted. Can you imagine the peace of knowing? Do y'all know 1 John 5:13? These things have I written unto you. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know you have eternal life. That man from that day forward knew it. I gave him this. Did I give y'all one of these? Mm-hmm. Huh? You heard new birth? Mm-hmm. I even know what born again is now. That is a new birth certificate. And I had the privilege of writing out his new birth certificate and gave it to him. And on the back it's got reference verses of promises of assurance forever. Never to leave him nor forsake him. He came down that morning. He says, I know I'm going to heaven. I thank you. Just to show me that way. Isn't that exciting? Oh, you okay. Yeah, we got some. Just need one? Okay. Second? No, that's Titus. Titus 3:5. No, just Titus 3:5. And the Phillips. It's over. Now, you, just so it's the Word of God. And there's a lot of translations and paraphrases. God works through all of them. By Spirit. I'm going to go on through this because this is important as I ad-lib that you learn it, because I had to fly through it before, and I'll give you an outline later. I think this is important because this has got the Word of God in it. This is the tool God taught me in. I want you to know it. Yes. Did it flip? No. Good. We're in good shape. Thank you. Appreciate you keeping it alert. Make sure I turn it on next time when I turn it on. Okay, the Bible says, we'll go on. The next one is Jesus saith unto him, you're buy a train ticket or a bus ticket? This is the ticket to heaven. Now look at this. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way to heaven. I am the truth all about it. And the life. No man comes into the Father. Now where is he? Where's the Father? See there? That's understood. No man comes into the Father through the gate but by me. John 14:6. Next verse. For by grace. Grace is unmerited favor. A man told me one time, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. No expense of yours. It's done. Grace is unmerited favor. You deserve not. Undeserved. For by grace are you saved. Saved, there's that term. Saved from what? Hell. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is believing, and you can't feel it. You can't see it. You can't smell it. You can't hear it. What's the other one? Touch, feel. Yeah. Okay. For by grace he is saved through faith. Just accept it. You don't understand it. And that not of yourself. Here it is. It is a what? Freely given. It is a gift of God, not of works. There's the worker. Now, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to give you this. See there? That gift had to be taken. That gift had to be received. Now that's the believing, accepting. The gift. For God so loved the world that He gave the gift. Jesus, my Son. Get them to learn to take it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God has provided the only way. Man must make the choice. Man's response is, receive Christ. Now see, these are man's words, okay? So let's go on to the depth of this. It didn't say the Bible says to see Christ. Yes.
I think one of the big things that I've seen in myself and I love that it's in discussions is this area of receiving. And it's such a oft out here kind of word. It's sometimes intangible or difficult to understand. You know, how do you receive someone who you can't see right there? You know, I can't put my arms around Jesus and say, I take you.
Well, it's like Thomas. It's like Thomas. He had the feeling.
He had the feeling.
Yeah. Put it in his side, see? Feel of it. But we don't have that. Blessed are they that believe and have not seen.
That's what I meant by a perfect understanding. There's times to explain this to someone, that feels know.
Have a guide. Follow through with the guide. Let me give you an encouragement. That's why I don't melt.
Why you don't what?
Melt.
Melt? Oh, okay.
Yeah, when somebody doesn't accept, I don't melt. God gave me the encouragement of Colossians 1:28. It's in the Phillips translation. So naturally, we proclaim Christ. Learn it naturally. Learn your way. I've learned other people's ways until it became mine. And I've changed different people's ways till it became mine. And I put a lot of them together and made it mine. As the Holy Spirit would use it through me. I became comfortable. So naturally, we proclaim Christ. We warn everyone we'll meet. That's our deal. We're warning them. Teach everyone you can. Now that's the non-melter. Because the Bible told me not everybody's going to be teachable. Your daddy might not ever learn that.
Okay, then not everyone will receive the word that you're speaking to them.
Right.
Okay. I mean, your duty is to plant seed, but not so much to reap them.
So.
It's up to the Lord to all of a sudden stir up their heart.
He wins them anyway.
Oh, that's right.
I show them all the way, and sometimes they don't have time. And I say, if this is the prayer that the Word of God's telling you about that we just went through, pray this at home tonight. You know, they don't need me. God does the saving. And that happened one time just recently. And I didn't know that God received Christ. And the preacher told me. That encouraged my heart. Let me tell you why it encouraged me. In John 4:36-38 in Phillips. This is my verses for next week. The reaper is already being rewarded and getting in a harvest for eternal life. So that both sower and reaper may be glad together. For in this harvest, the old saying comes, and it comes true. One man sows and another reaps. I have sent you to reap a harvest. He'd rather see the reaping, okay? Close the sale.
Right.
I have sent you to reap the harvest for which you never labored. You ever thought why somebody came to Christ so fast?
Heavy labor.
You got it. Other men have worked hard, and you have reaped the result of their labor.
Almost like you get the glory.
Yeah. But God wants that reaper. You know. I didn't hear you. What did you say? Amen. Right. Amen. Okay. We must trust Jesus Christ and receive Him by personal invitation. John 4:36, 37, 38. We must trust Jesus Christ and receive Him by personal invitation. The Bible says. See, you can make them assured that the Bible's saying that's not Moose Keller. I like that. Behold. You know who's saying this? It's in red letters if you've got a red letter Bible. It's in Revelation 3:20. It says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now that's the Spirit of Jesus who sent back to us. You find that in John. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If. Choice. Teach everyone you can. Choice. It's not your choice to make them. You let go to let God save them.
That's not easy to do.
No. No. If any man... Now, who's that? Well, I know where she comes from. My wife, she'll kill me if I say this. She had to talk about a subject. And Irma said, would you talk to us earnest? She's not in the politics of this thing, you know? And she says, Irma, what you want to talk about soap for? Equal rights. Oh. Oh, I appreciate that. Any of them. Woman came from man. That's all. That's why he says that. Really it is. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, woman, hears my voice. You know where he's hearing it? Huh? Uh-uh. He's not there yet. If any man hears my voice, he's knocking outside. If any man hears my voice,
you got to be listening.
Well, he's got to be listening.
To
what?
Hear the word.
Ah, I see it. Courage again. Is he listening? Are you giving it the word? Your words won't do it. Remember that. Your words will not break through his wall barrier. You've got to be using the Word of God.
If you're reading the Word to him, or he's reading the Word off the page, what he's trying to say. Okay.
If any man hears my voice and opens the door. Now, y'all know you've seen the picture. No doorknob outside. It's on the inside. If any man opens the door, it has to come from him. He opens the door. Does Jesus rush in? It says he'll come in. But will anybody that opens the door of your own home, you open it up, does any stranger fly through there? Except pots and pans salesmen. Invite them in. See, that's understood there, and it's missed. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. He says, I'll come in, but you got to invite him in. See, it's missed.
Okay. By you opening the door, you're inviting
him. No.
No, not necessarily.
No.
What?
See? Okay. All right, let's go back.
I'm going by what the verse says.
I know it, but it's understood by there. Because anybody that comes to your door, Jesus don't force himself into your home. Jesus is coming to you, and you know all about him. Hey, I know you. I recognize you. You suffered for me. You died for me on the cross. You arose for me. I know you. I accept you. Come here. I trust you. Come here. I cling to you. Come here. I have faith in you. Come here. You see it? He does come in. That's when he says, I'll come in. All you have to do is ask me. I will come in. See, I will come in. You get that? I will. You see that I will? He wants to.
Someone that you're thinking of, though, could be that someone has heard this from your voice. Well, I'll open the door this far, but I got to think about it.
That's right. There's people like that.
Yeah, I'm going to, let me give me a while to think about this and to think it over. And, you know, it might just by peeking through the peephole, you know, looking out.
Praise God, he peeked.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, you said you thought that they came in and leave.
Yeah, and don't. Yeah, and don't allow that door to be slammed shut. Next one.
Also, to be able to do is taking vitamins and gas into the room, so you don't have to be worried.
Amen. Yeah, yeah, but that's progress. Second Timothy 3:16 says all scripture. Is there no happy? Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now that told me, and a lot of people think, as soon as he comes in, boy, change. Do you know the true Greek for that? The true Greek, old things have passed away. Listen to it. Old things are passing away. That's the true sense of it. Now, when you receive Christ, it is passed away.
Yeah.
See? The old spirit's gone. You got a new spirit. See? Now, your flesh is with you. So old things are passing away. It's progressive.
You're like dragging your flesh on.
That's why we need more of the Word to get balance. And I haven't got to that. Okay. Okay. Man is sinful, separated, frustrated, guilty, and has a lack of purpose. And God has forgiveness. He has peace, abundant life, eternal life. Do you have total peace? Do you really believe God forgives? You know, do you have His forgiveness? No, no. And if they say, no, where are you? Get that commitment. Where are you? Let them see themselves. Where are you? Check it out.
David doesn't verbally say it, or they say it in their mind. I'm on the left or on the right. And they know where they are. They know where they'd like to be. But making the decision, yes, this is what I want.
If he doesn't know the verbal commitment, if he doesn't know the verbal commitment, turn back to step two. Just a few sins.
I've run into two that they haven't done anything.
Nobody listened, did they?
Yeah.
See, I caught you off guard again. Just a few sin.
I thought you were
all have sinned.
I know that.
But where does he fit?
Oh, to the man.
Yeah. I'm getting his attention again because he might have got sleepy again, see? All have sinned. Where are you now? Well, since the Scripture says that, I'm right there. Since the Scripture says, and that's okay. Because if he recognizes the Scripture says that, that's where I am, that's okay. And now, if he's going to say, well, I don't know, he's not going to hem around. As long as he recognizes the Scripture says, the Scripture says, I'm over here. That's okay. Let him recognize where he is. Now, Scripture.
Let him recognize where he's at by the conviction of the Spirit. And if he doesn't turn, at least that time, at least the Spirit can work on him after he left that day and leaving the book. And if he wants to kind of research the book or look at it or whatever. But it's not
necessarily still there.
That you've got to get him converted that day.
That's right.
When he says, well, I'm not sure, or whatever. He sees where he's at and he sees where he should be. But he's not ready to make a decision yet because it's a big commitment the way he looks at it.
Yeah, and we're not through yet.
Right.
See? And that's good as long as we can keep going.
Right.
I wanted to go back to you so you'll understand something. They left something out of the Revelation 3:20. See, he said he'd come in and I will sup with him and he with me. Do you know what that is? You'll have fellowship with it. And 1 Corinthians 1:9 talks about it. And there's no fellowship until he comes in.
Right.
Okay. Let's want y'all to know that. Okay, the Word still follows. But as many as, there it is, plain and bold. That's the Word I saw in 1970. I'd never received Him. To them gave He power to become the sons of God. Have you ever seen an adopted son not have a father? If the son left? Or the father left, he's still adopted, isn't he? He still got a daddy. Might be a stepdaddy, that's okay, but I got a stepdaddy. He's in heaven. I never lose that father. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, accept him. Is there any good reason why you cannot receive Jesus Christ right now? Well, not really. You know, wait on that. Just kind of wait on that. And if he's not saying anything, that's okay. This is going this. This is some things you ought to do. Think about. Do you have a need? Are you a sinner? How can I help him? Are you a sinner? Well, I don't know. Let's go back on two. see the reference? I'm loading him down because I want him to see what God sees in him.
The thing of it is, you never know whether you lost him or where you failed to, you know, communicate to him through the little book. Maybe he just drifted.
That's right.
He's thinking about laying on the beach or something or other.
Don't you do it in church?
Oh, yeah.
You bet.
Oh, yeah, I'll be thinking about doing my laundry sitting in the middle of a sermon or something.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I take notes, boy. I want to get my mind on it. So help him focus. See? Go back again. Are you a sinner? Yeah, God said I'm a sinner. You know, they don't like to admit things like that, you know. But here we are. We're there.
It's exposure.
Sure. But let me tell you what God said in James 5:16 in Amplified. It says, confess to one another, therefore your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. That's the whole thing. Nothing left out. It says, number two, be willing to turn from sin. It didn't say just forthright turn from sin, did it? You can't.
Be willing to.
God helps you turn. But he's got to get in you first. You can't change and accept him. There's just no way. Because that old comes back. See, in 1 Corinthians 10:12, so be careful if you're thinking, oh, I'd never behave like that again.
Oh, look out.
Let this be a warning to you. For you too may fall into sin. But praise God, Psalms 37:23-24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast away, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Isn't that good? Get the Lord in here. Okay, number three. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. Trust in him. Rely on him. Now, is that believe again, see? Explain that believe again. Do you believe that he did that for you? See, get that personal with him. Four, now through prayer, would you like to invite Christ to come in your life? Now, listen, I know you probably don't know how to pray, but here's a little sample prayer that I'd like to go through with you and see if this is what the Word of God says to you to pray about. Dear Lord Jesus, why do I pray to him? See, now if he doesn't know why, turn back. That's right, it's on step three. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The ticket. Why, Lord Jesus, that. Okay, I know that I'm a sinner. Boy, if he don't recognize it this time, we've already turned back three times. Yeah. Do you know you're a sinner? Yeah, God told me. You know. Okay, but he recognizes it. Okay, I need your forgiveness. I'm personalizing this thing. I need your forgiveness. Will God forgive you? And my courage is to tell you that God does forgive. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7, The reason he forgives us of our sins is because of his shed blood for you. Okay? Now get this. Will God still forgive? Because I still remember. Micah 7:19, Isaiah 43:25, and Psalms 103:12 says he buries it.
Blots
it out. Psalms 103:12, Micah 7:19, and Isaiah 43:25 promises that God doesn't remember anymore. Isn't that encouraging? I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sin. I accept you dying for my sin. I know that's what you came for. I want to turn from my sin. It didn't say I will turn from my sin. God don't want a vow you can't keep, and you can't keep that. But you want to try. Listen to Proverbs 15:9-10. In the living. It says, the Lord despises the deeds of the wicked, but loves those that try to be good. The Lord despises the deeds of the wicked, but loves those that try to be good. If they stop trying, the Lord will punish them. And if they rebel against that punishment, they'll die. Separation. All over again. God just keeps trying. I want to turn from my sins. I now invite you to come into my heart and life. See the invitation? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I'll bring it back to that. Why do you invite Christ? Why do you have to say this for? See? And I'll take him back to Revelation 3:20 and let him find that understanding. And I'll let him find that John 1:12, but as many as receive him, invite him. I now invite you to come into my heart and life. That's what God wants you to do, isn't it? Courage of the Word, see? I'm bringing him back to it. I want to trust you. It didn't say, I will trust you. You know, the old arrogant way. There's no way you know how to trust him. It's just like the Father that cried out. Did I give you all that verse in Mark 9:23 and 24? Did I give you all that? I got 10 minutes. Mark 9:23-24 says, Jesus has been approached by this man, the father of a boy that's got epilepsy. And the father says, heal him. And Jesus says, all things are possible if you believe. And the man cries out, I believe. Help me to believe more. See, we don't know how to trust him all the way, but help me to trust you a little bit more. You see, in Colossians 2:6 and Hebrews 3:14 in the living, they're synonymous verses, and I put them together. It says, trust me too with every day's problems, just as you did when you first received me. And I trust him to receive him by his word with every day's problems. I trust him with every day's problems with his word. Did you know every answer in this world we got in problems are here? He tells you to stay away from something, and he tells you what to put on. He tells you what to put off. He tells you what to put on. Every answer is right by. Wherever he tells you to take off something, he tells you to put it on right next to it. Every answer is right there. And I'm so grateful. I'm still looking. Did we close out? Now. I thought you already accepted. Okay. Now, is this what God's Word has told you to do? Yeah. Pray it. Now, they might say, I'll pray my own. Or they might say, let me pray it. That's okay. Whatever. Now, you don't know yet that they're saved. Because only the Holy Spirit knows. Don't you ever go back to them people if they come to you and say, did I receive Christ from, what's it, April 27th, 1985? Don't you dare say, yeah, I remember hearing you. And just pull it out again. And you know, this booklet told you that you're going to have peace with Him. Let's go back through this booklet and the Word. See? And you just review it to Him and let Him see. Well, I remember I invited Christ. Do you need to do anything further? No. See, a man can fall and get so far behind, he won't be, you know, won't know it. He needs to be reminded, if he knows, by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Not by Moose Keller and my Word. Be aware. Because I remember a preacher one time, he told me. He said, a woman came to me and says, oh, brother, I won't bring his name up. Oh, brother, am I going to heaven? Why, yeah, don't you remember so-and-so day? Came up another day. Oh, am I going to heaven? Oh, yeah, don't you remember that day we stood up here? I mean, you know, you talk. Three times she came, and the fourth time she did. He had that burden, and he still got it. But praise God, God's forgave him, but he hadn't. He got scarred. You praise it. Now, here's the question. With God's assurance of His Word, did you pray this prayer? See, it's just a simple question. Did you pray this prayer? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You prayed the prayer, you call on His name. Don't you believe you did?
Yeah.
Romans 10:9-10 says, for if you tell others with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and believe in your own heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I won't go on a 10. But that's what He's saying. Did you sincerely ask Jesus Christ to come into your life? Why? It's not there. But why? Well, let's see. It's over here somewhere. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. He said he'd come in. You know, if I invite him in, it's understood right there. He might have wrote it down or something, but you're going to help him see God's Word. Why did you invite him in? Let him see it. Where is he right now? Well, how can he be in you and in me? I don't understand that. I accept it. Faith. What do you have? The Spirit of God. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. It says right now. That's so true. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Some more assurances. Hebrews 13:5 is on the back of your card. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast out. And Psalms 37:23-24. I gave it to you a while ago. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast away, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Why share the faith? Number one is, do you believe there's a hell? In Luke 16:19-33, Jesus Christ says, yes, there's a hell, and he describes it. And a man's in torment in hell, he sees in hell, and he's burning in hell, but he's not being consumed. It's right there, Luke 16:19-33. Yes, there's a hell. Another reason I share is because of the white throne judgment. I'll share this with you what I know about it. I received Christ in 1970. I'm living today, and I'm waiting for the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about it. The dead in Christ rises first to meet Christ in the air and meet the spirits of the dead. The dead in Christ come up first. If I went out to the graveyard and I want to see dead, I'll see you in a minute, dead. You know, he's going first. And so, those that are living are going to air next. And then the tribulation starts for 7 years. And going on up here is a Christian judgment. Now, you mean Christians are going to be judged? Oh, yeah. Right going on up here is what you did there or didn't do. And you're saved by the skin of your teeth. 1 Corinthians 3:14-15 talks about you being saved by the skin of your teeth. You know, no rewards, but you're saved. Praise God. You know, and right here, folks, I'll get on to that in a minute. Okay, right here, after tribulation is Armageddon. Christ and us meet. I hope you're going with me. And right here, we come out from judgment, Christian judgment, Armageddon. He's coming to judge the world and lock up Satan. And then the 1,000-year reigns. Now, there's going to be tribulation saints come out, but they won't have the Holy Spirit. No protection. We're coming out of heaven with protection. The Holy Spirit's still protecting us. And so after 1,000 years, Satan is let loose again to deceive. And he deceives the tribulation saints because they're not protected. And they are deceived to follow the lie again. And so Satan is cast in the hell eternally after that. And then, you know your names in the book of life. And you have the white throne judgment. Now at this time, we sit with Christ in judgment. That's what they call the white throne judgment. And at that time, these people that are dead in Christ come to the book to see if they're in the book. Now we won't have to look into the book because we know we're in the book. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We know we're in the book. And in that book, they read it. They don't see the name. Why do I share the faith? Is because right there when they read that their name is not in that book, and I'm sitting over here by the throne of God, with God, through Jesus, I don't want that person to point at me and say, why didn't you tell me? That scares the life into me. I don't want that to happen to me. And then after they're all cast into hell to burn, not to consume, then heaven eternally. That's the new earth. Now, you said no heaven and heaven, no tears. Remember? If I don't have rewards from the works here, you don't think I'm going to cry? Because I want some crowns to throw at Jesus' feet. I'm going to be in tears. I've not found yet that there's no tears right there. There's no tears here. In Revelation 21, it says that. But I'm going to have tears here because of what I didn't do here. I'm going to have tears here because they're going to point at me. But right there, no more tears. I can't find it anywhere. I've only found it. No tears in the new earth. But I've got tears coming here and here. And I don't want that. That's why I share my faith. It's my priority. When I received Christ in my life in 1970, He came in the center of my life. By the Word of God, He showed me the way. That's the Word. His Word supports me. My prayer. His Word supports my prayer. I have fellowship with believers. Bible study, church, and witness. I try hard to keep us balanced by the grace of God. I work hard on it in that realm as an obedient Christian in action. I'm working very hard at that. I want that. That's my priority. And witness is one of them. Sharing my faith is one of them. I'll give you an example of the Word supporting prayer. I was in Greenville, and we were in this church, and it just wasn't feeding us any meat. But I was there to try to help it come along. And it was hurting my wife spiritually too. And she said, let's change churches. And I said, well, I'll pray. I said, Lord, do you want us to leave the church? If so, what do you want us to do? That same morning when I prayed, he opened up 1 Kings 17:1 to me. And it's Elijah. And he says, go east. Now go means leave. Go east, go by the brook, and the ravens will feed you meat and bread. Well, that's simple. When he said go east, we were here at this church. There was a church east, and there was one northeast, and there's one southeast. There's one southwest too, but that was not east, so I had to wipe that one off. I didn't like that one because they had a spa in it, and I didn't want to go to church that had a spa. I just felt like it's just too much socialism in the thing. That's right. And I had two friends up here that I knew about, Cliff Barrows and Johnny Lenny. But the church, you know, they aren't there to help them. They're gone all the time. And they're just not meeting. That church right there was a pretty church. And I said, I don't want to go to that church. I'd rather go to that one. You know, to my wife. She said, let's try it. I said, okay. We went over there. We were half an hour late because they started at 10:30 instead of 11. It's not routine, you know. 11, he preached the word. He had it organized. Meat. Wednesday night we went. The girl was teaching excerpts of precept upon precept. And it was great. Meat. We went the next Sunday. Same thing all over. More meat. And we came out the front door and Sean says, what's that ditch over there? There's a brook. Now listen to what the Lord said. Go east by the brook. And he said, the ravens will feed you bread and meat. I love the Lord. He's just so good. See, yeah, I'm running all over the place. He said, just go east.
Just like Abraham did when he was wandering around in the...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The land of Chaldees.
He goes over to Egypt, you know,
right.
Get away from it.
Right.
God wants me to, too. This is my priority, but number four, God wants me to. In Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Romans 10:9-10, I told you that a while ago. Share it with your mouth. John, 1 John 4, 1-4, says, test the Spirit to see if Christ is verbally coming from them and in them. That's how you test their spirit. And I shared with you John 4, 36-38 a while ago. Reap and sow together, share. Now, when to share your faith? In Colossians 1:28. So naturally, we proclaim Christ. We warn everyone we meet. That's warn everyone you meet. That means where you are. Where do you share? Where you are. Number two, when to share your faith, is 1 Peter 3:15. Quietly, trust yourself to Christ your Lord. If anybody asks you why you believe as you do, be ready to tell them and do it in a gentle and respectful way. Quietly means listen. When you keep in foremost in mind to witness, we're 5 minutes late. When you keep foremost in mind to share the gospel, you keep foremost in mind witness. Did I tell y'all about Earl Basso in Alaska? Oh, God. I got so many. This guy, we went to Alaska. The only way to get to this place was float plane. We flew, man, I felt like we missed the glaciers that far. And on a float plane, I'd rather have wheels. And these are big old pontoons. And we were flying over there. We just had a Christian conference for 4 days. And we took 4 days off and went off and went salmon fishing. Well, one of the guides had a crude words on his hat. you know, Bill hat, and he got these writings on there, Bill, you know, what do you call it, a little patch. Oh, he's proud of that. And he is leading us out through there in a whaleboat. And the next morning, we got acquainted. See? We didn't say anything and let him keep his hat. The next morning, we're having breakfast and we're waiting on the boats to come back and pick us up. The plane had already gone. And while we're sitting there, my thought was to witness this boy. Lord, show me how. And just started gazing around while everybody was talking, we're waiting on the boats. I saw a TV. And the Klondike. Here's a TV. No existence anywhere for a radio tower. They don't even have radio towers for their radios. The way they communicate, those bush pilots, is with each other when they're flying. That's the only communication they got. And so I said, Earl, what are you doing with the TV here? You can't get TV unless you got video, and I don't see video on it. He says, oh, we get TV. How? He said, we've got a generator in the back, and it'll generate it in. We've got a tower in the back, you know, for a TV station. We barely get it, but we can get it. And I said, have you ever gotten Billy Graham before? Yeah, I've seen Billy Graham. And I said, well, great. You ever listen to him good? No, I listened to him a little bit. And I said, well, do you know you're going to heaven or not? He said, well, I hope I am. I don't know. I said, Earl, I've got a booklet here. And all those guys, the same guys that's here with you, they jumped up and left. And Earl went like this. He got a little shocked, you know, what's going on? And they all left and went outside and prayed. And so I said, this is a book about peace, of knowing you're going to heaven. His wife was washing dishes behind me. So I started through the book, just like, you know, we went through a while ago. And we got to the prayer, and he says, honey, come over here. He says, honey, have you been listening to what he said? Yeah, I've been hearing. You want to pray this prayer with me? Yeah, let's pray. And they both prayed together. And I said, is that what God wants you to do? That's what God wants you to do. I want to go to heaven. Both of them prayed. And when we got through, he says, I want you to talk to my boy tonight. He says, I'll talk to him before you get with him. Isn't that exciting? Came back that night. His little boy received Christ. Had a family of them up there. The next morning, the camp was gone. A new camp was on. Isn't that exciting? I didn't say a word. Oh, I have so much. But I gave you the gist. It's important. It's the crusade. I need to tell you this. I learned at the crusade in 1971, Dallas. That's where I was taught to witness. Charlie Riggs is my spiritual great-great-grandpappy. He taught me to witness with this booklet. He asked me today, he said, you still using my book? And I told him yes. But let me tell you, when the people come down front, I was scared to death at the Dallas Crusade because I didn't know what to say. I knew how to read the book. Well, what did I say when they come down? It's simple. Just let it be a part of you. What did you come down for? What did you come down for? It's simple. It's natural. And it's true. He's come down for something. What did you come down for? Let him answer. He might say, I rededicate my life. Don't accept that. Listen, I'm glad you come down to rededicate your life. What I want to ask you, and it's something personal, may I ask you? It is okay. Do you know you're going to heaven or not? Well, I hope so. Can I share this peace with you? That I have this same peace? Can I share this with you? The peace I have? Yeah, go through it. Don't accept I've been saved without asking where he is. Don't accept rededication without asking where he is. Don't accept, oh, I've been born again. See, they're just trying to write you off, but just check it out because if they've never given testimony, it's good for them to give the testimony anyway. For if you tell others with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and believe in your own heart that God is raising from the dead, you'll be saved. See, it's good. You're going to help them bring it out and do that. I'm sorry we have to fly through it all, but bunch. But anyway, let's pray. Father, I thank you for these ones that have come and their interest hearts and their hunger and thirst for your word and the way to witness. And I just pray that they gain courage by your word and just trust as they bring out your word that you would prosper through it. And Father, I just pray this for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.